I want to thank you for coming out tonight. I know that probably could have found something to do at maybe at home or something like that. But I'm thankful that you know the Lord as your Savior. And I believe when you become to know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to want to be around God's people and be in God's house. And tonight, if you will, turn to the book of John chapter 20. John chapter 20. It's been a long time since I've preached this message. I think maybe I had went over it a time or two here, but tonight I just want to bring out some thoughts to you that any time that we miss a service, whether Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night or Wednesday night, unless you are providentially hindered by maybe a job you have to work over, or you cannot make it on time on Wednesday night or Sunday night or whatever, or sickness or something like that. But if you don't have to work, or if you don't have no sickness, and if you're not in the hospital, and if your body's not lying over there at Ren Yates or Swicegood or Towns, then you need to be in God's house. Because I tell you what, this one thing that Thomas missed some of the greatest blessings that I believe that we can receive today also. And I think we need to be reminded sometime of them blessings. But here in John chapter 20, in verse 17, it says, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. The things that she's speaking about is the things that was before this, that what she had heard and where the Lord says, you touch me not. But it says in verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them and to whosoever sin ye retained, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Our Father, we want to thank you tonight for the reading of thy word. And Father, we thank you for each and every one that come out tonight. And Lord, that you may touch these lips of clay, Father, that your words will go out, will land on the hearts of the people. And Father, that we can be better Christians when we leave here tonight than we was before when we come in. And Father, we just want to thank you, want to love you, more tonight than we ever have before, because it's in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. Here we see many blessings here in these verses of Scripture where I just had read. But not only the blessings that are here for us to receive, but for Thomas, he missed out on the greatest of all blessings. He missed out on being able to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection. See, this took place after the resurrection of our Lord. See, he had already went back to heaven. And when he entered there in heaven, he was about ready to sit down, but the father told him, said, you can't sit down now. Wait a minute, you got to go back. Now, can you imagine the conversation that Jesus and the father had with that in mind? Because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, he was just fulfilling the promises that God had given him down through time. And we see where, not only that Thomas would be an individual that people would look to today. Now, why did people, and they still say it today, they speak of when somebody doubts, they talk about, oh, doubting Thomas. You're another one of them doubting Thomases. I don't want to be another doubting Thomas. I don't want to be out here in the highway. I don't want to be riding the roads and everything when I need to be here. Because if I miss out here, then I miss out on the blessings of God. But Thomas missed out on the blessings There were seven blessings that Thomas missed on. And the first one was a sweet, sweet fellowship with the other brothers. We can miss out on a sweet fellowship and come into God's house and just speaking to the saved. Because we never know who's liable to come in. We never know who will come in, and just maybe with us showing up, we'll draw that individual in that doesn't go to church, that has never darkened the doors. But we're here for one reason. Why? To receive God's blessings that He has for us. I will say this, that in receiving God's blessings, you have to be at the place that where God gives out His blessings. We cannot be somewhere else when God's giving His blessings right down here. Right here at Faith Baptist Church. Now I could have stayed home tonight, and I could have said all my ears hurt me and to where I couldn't have hear and everything, and I could have stayed at home. But just think about what I would miss out in not coming. I wouldn't miss out on the first blessing of them all, and that's the blessing to where the sweet, sweet fellowship that we can have. Verse 19 says that the disciples were dissembled. What was they assembled for? They was assembled there in discussing their next move. In discussing where they was aiming to go. But even more than that, I believe they was discussing too some things that they didn't have. They didn't have the Lord with them. They'd always depended on the Lord to lead and guide and direct our path in the way that they was going to go. They always depended on the Lord. But see, they didn't have the Lord now. Because the Lord had went back to, he'd rose from the dead and he'd went back to heaven. And that's what I believe that God the Father was discussing with His Son. And it doesn't say, and this is just me, if you want to, this is this is Donnie 3:16 or Donnie something, but this is the way I look at it. I believe that not only did Thomas miss out, but even the disciples that was left behind, they left out. Because of why? Because of their murmuring. Because they was murmuring because they didn't have the Lord with them. And the Father that was in there in heaven, He told His Son, says, Son, says, you're not through yet. Says, you need to get back to earth. You need to get back and you need to go up to the upper room there because your followers, they are in disarray. They don't know what they're going to do now. You need to go back down there and help them and get them on the right track. They know better. But see, all of a sudden, they didn't have the Lord. That's the same way with a church. When the church itself, when it's going so good, and when everything looks like everything is going fine and everything, and then all of a sudden you'll have something tragic to happen. You'll have a death in the church or something like that. Now, like down here, Brother Poovey passed away. That was something that hit y'all hard. It hit y'all real hard. So y'all didn't know what to do. You didn't know how to go about. But you needed some strength. And who was going to give you that strength? The Lord. The Lord would give you the strength to bear all your burdens. He will give you strength to conquer anything that you come up with, and He already has. I've seen God's blessings here in this church with no more people than here. Seen God's blessing. I've seen God's miracle been performed here among the people. I've seen that. In firsthand, I've seen it. I've experienced it. And it's something to talk about it, but it's something else to experience it. It's something else to just experience the blessings of God. You know, I could have stayed home tonight. But I wouldn't have had the fellowship that I've had with y'all. I wouldn't have had the sweet fellowship I've had with Brother Gene and Sister Iva over there. But we have to remember every time that we come into the house of God that yes, we can have the sweet fellowship. And not only that, God's house offers comfort. Where can you get comfort? Can you get it on a job? Can you get it out here at Lowe's or Walmart? If you down and everything didn't go your way today, if you go to Walmart, if you go to Lowe's or somewhere like that and you're just sitting out walking around, is that going to comfort you? No. It's not going to comfort you. What's going to comfort you is being in God's house and being in fellowship with God. God's house also offers inspiration. He inspires us to do better. He inspires me to do better. Like I said here the other Sunday, I believe it was. Yes, the Lord has given me a vision for this church. But I don't know. It may happen and it may not happen. But I don't have to worry about that. I know what the Word says. And the Word tells me, it says, if you don't have no vision, what is around you is going to just perish. It's going to go by the wayside. So we've got to have a vision. And in spite of the fears here, in spite of all the fears that the disciples had, they had one fear. And the fear that they had wasn't about Jesus. The fear that they had was that they really didn't want to go out from the upper room because of the Jews. Because they knew if they went outside and they went about their business, what they're supposed to be doing, that the Jews. It says right here, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembling for fear of the Jews. That's the reason they assembled. That's the reason they gathered there in the upper room and they had the doors shut. They had all the windows closed. They had probably the windows boarded up and everything because they had fear in their heart. But you don't tell you what? We need to look at that word fear. I think I may have touched on this Sunday night a little bit. We need to have fear. We need to have more fear in our life as Christians. I need to fear God more today than I did yesterday. And tomorrow, I need to fear more tomorrow than I do today. Why? Because He tells me to. Because see, as long as we fear God, And with that strong conviction of fear, then we're going to stay real close to God. You're not going to be kind of out here wandering here and there. You're going to be real close to Him. And I don't know about you, but I love it when I get real close to God. Like I said a while back, when I was in the hospital there, when I had the administrative, I was there laying in the hospital, and the doctors, they come in and told me, said, well, there's a possibility it could be this, it could be that, and everything, MS and all of this and everything, and many strokes and all that and everything. And yeah, my wife, she got upset and everything. But and then after she left and she went home, yeah, and then I started tearing up. Because I was a little concerned. And what I was concerned about, if I was going to have to end up giving up preaching. If I was going to have to give up a church. But then I just got to talking to God there, lying in a bed. Didn't go to sleep at all that night. The nurse coming in about 3:30 that morning. They come in and they wake you up, and then they tell you, you need to get rest. How do you get rest in the hospital when they're going to come in and wake you up? I mean, they need to say, I'm sleeping. Leave me alone. Well, she come in about 3:30, and I was wide awake. I was still talking to the Lord. She said, you still awake? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, you going to get into sleep tonight? I said, I kind of doubt it. I just lay in there. She says, you hugging that pillow be awful tight. And I got to turn around and I looked. I had my arm over there and had the pillow. I had the pillow kind of balled up a little bit. And I was hugging on it. I was hugging the Lord. That's what I felt. That's what I felt. I felt His hug on me. Then I had to hug Him back because of everything that He has done for me. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve any of His blessings. I don't deserve to be the under shepherd of this church. I do not deserve to be your pastor. But it's by God's grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. I mean, when I first come here, I told y'all that you're going to experience somebody that you've never experienced before. I'm not like no any other preacher. I'm just down to earth, and I like to carry on a good conversation with anybody. And I can take a conversation out of the Bible, and I can talk to people about it. But, you know, I know y'all have seen on the news and everything, all these politicians and everything talking about all these murders and everything, police officers getting murdered and everything, and they're talking about all the riots and everything, and they say, And all the illegals coming across the borders and everything. And they say, yeah, everybody wants to be politically correct. No, I don't want to be politically correct. I don't want to be any of that. I just want to be close to God. And so thankful I am. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times in his days, be prolonged. Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. Luke 23, in verse 40 through 40, verse 40 and 40 through 43. But the others answering rebuked him, saying, Do not thou fear God, seeing thou art in this same condemnation? And we indeed, justly, for we receive the same due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shall they be with me in paradise. I mean, it wasn't just a little simple words that thief on the cross asked the Lord. Asked the Lord. Just asked him, says, can you remember me? Can you remember me after the resurrection? See, he knew about the resurrection. He knew that the Lord was going home and be with the Father. But he said, Lord, just remember me, would you please? I sure would appreciate it if you just remember me. And what did the Lord say? He said, yes, I will remember you. And you have a paradise. You have a mansion right there in heaven waiting for you. We all have a mansion waiting for us. But the reason we haven't gone yet, because we have not had the welcome sign out on our mansion, it welcomes us home. Some people fear the wrong things in life. They fear that where other people is talking about them. And fear not because they don't look good enough. People fear because, well, if I go to church this Sunday, you know, so-and-so is going to be there, and I don't know what they're going to be wearing this Sunday, and probably what I wear ain't going to look as good as she going to wear, and I just fear it. You'd be surprised if people like that. People are like that. But they need to come. They need to come and fear God that, hey, God, I fear you. Because, God, if I don't, then I know something's going to happen. And if I don't fear God, I know that something's going to happen to me. Why? Because He said it would. He said it would. Not only that, the blessings of sweet fellowship, we'll also see the blessings of seeing Jesus in the midst. Verse 19, the latter part of that, it says, Came Jesus and stood in the midst. He came and stood in the midst of where they was at. Have you ever felt the touch of God on you? Have you ever felt like that something that had touched you to the point that it was something more than you've ever experienced before? something that had power behind it, something that had strength behind it. And I love it over there in Luke chapter 22, I think it is, one of the verses down there, it's where he's talking to Simon. He says, Simon, Simon. But then he, in the next verse down, he says, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he said, Simon, he says, I'm praying for thee. If you don't think you have anybody praying for you. And I know that we go through them times in our life that we feel all alone. Like nobody cares for me. And nobody's remembering anything. They don't remember my prayers. But always remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ, He has heard your prayers. And with the prayers that He heard from you, He's praying for that prayer. You say, well, why would He pray for that prayer? Why would He pray? When all He has to do is just say, okay, it's granted. Okay, you're healed. Well, you have to take that up with God. That's the way He does things. He just wants us to be submissive unto Him. Amos chapter 3 and verse 13 says, Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord of God, the Lord God, the God of hosts. Verse 19 speaks of the third blessing. And it's the benediction. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. What the Lord Jesus is saying to the disciples there, He says, peace be with you. I mean, I don't know of any other way to put it. I mean, what else can you ask from God? I mean, He's praying for us. And He's there. He wants to meet our every need. But the reason He don't meet our need is because we're not praying in the right frame of mind. We're praying these pitiful, pitiful prayers. And the fourth blessing is the one that missed the revelation of His coming. Verse 20. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Hey. The disciples, they was glad when they saw the Lord. But see, they'd already had saw the Lord before that. They'd all also had walked with the Lord. And the Lord had touched them. Lord asked them to do certain things and they done it. They was glad. What do you think is going to be when we get there? What do you think is going to be when I get there? I ain't going to have to worry about no mini stroke. I ain't going to have to worry about no knee replacement. I got a false knee over here. I ain't got to worry about that. I ain't got to worry about my eyes going blind. I ain't got to worry about none of that.
What am I going to be doing? Hey, I'm going to be jumping for joy. I'm going to be shouting for the victory. You know, we're supposed to practice down here. Because when we get over there, the real thing's going to happen. We're supposed to practice right here. The real thing's is coming about. And it ain't going to be long either. It ain't going to be that much longer
before the Lord comes back. The last blessing of the four that I had was a blessing of where I missed the revelation of His coming. Just think about one thing, that Thomas missed all of this. Thomas was probably out in a bar or something like that, just having an old pity me party. Well, oh me, I don't know what I'm going to do now. You know, I don't have the Lord. You know, he was helping me all the time long before, but now he's not here. Thomas, you idiot. If you'd have just stayed with the other disciples, you'd have seen the Lord. But no, he didn't want to. That's the reason we come about. We got that the last verse where I read was verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, he was speaking to Thomas, and said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Thomas thought, hey, man, I done seen the Lord now. The Lord said, now I can believe now. Hallelujah. But he said this to me and you. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed. I sure am glad I'm the one of them crowd, the blessed. Because I'm going to tell you, it had to take something bigger than Donald Mahan to get out of the rut that Donald Mahan was in. It had to take somebody awful big to get my life turned around. Because I wasn't thinking anything at all about turning my life around. I was thinking about having a good time. I was thinking about Saturday nights going out here with my cousins and everything. Going out here and just hitting the barrooms and everything and drinking the slits and everything. That's what I was into then. But you know something? I come to find out the next day after I got saved on that Monday night. That I woke up on Tuesday morning and I knew exactly what happened Monday night. When that weekend come around, when Sunday come, I woke up and I put my feet on the floor, I got dressed and going to church. One thing about it, I could remember what happened the night before. You know, I've had a better time. I've had more fun being a Christian. Amen. Than anything I know. I mean, and these people said, well, I just got to sow my wild oats. You're going to sow all the oats you want to. But them oats ain't going to come up. They're just going to be laying right there on the ground. Don't wait, and I tell them all the time, don't waste your life away.
accept Jesus now. Because it was 30 years of my life I give to the devil. But now it's going on 36 years now. I'm giving my life to the Lord. I know I ain't what I should be for Him, but I'm not what I used to be either. I ain't no drunk like I was then. I won't know one of these when I hear and done all the parties and everything. If everyone would please stand. And before Brother Bill comes up, I want to ask, if you will, since it's Wednesday night, is prayer meeting, and I would like for all the people, if you would, come to the front pew or come to the altar, and just let's get in touch with God, because that's the only way that we're going to see a move of God today.